All right, good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hey, is God amazing? Yeah, put your hands together for Jesus. I said put your hands together for Jesus. That was good for the worship team. That's right. Yeah, you guys need to step it up a little bit for the King of Kings. Hey, I am so glad that you guys are here today, and we're officially getting started, and we're going to see what God does in this. And so if you're new here, we want to tell you that we love you, that we're doing this church for you, that God has a plan in your life. We believe that, and so that's why we do what we do, and we want to welcome you here if you're new, and talk to a neighbor to get familiar. And we pray that this would be like a church home to you. You know what our goal is when people walk through those front doors? It feels like they're walking at home. That's what we want. We want it to be just like family. Amen. Yeah, some of you are like, amen. That's how it is. So we're going to do it like that, and I would just want to welcome you. And also, too, we're going to be starting a new series today called Nehemiah Rebuild. We're going to be in that this morning. So if you got your Bibles, head on over to Nehemiah chapter 1. I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, just to set the context. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And so when we get started this morning, what I want to do is I want to talk to you guys on this subject. This is our title this morning, Burden, Breaking Through Burden, Breaking Through Burden. And as I was thinking about what we're going to see in Nehemiah this morning, this week, well, actually, it was a couple weeks ago. Vicky had asked me to do the yard because we had family coming over, or friends coming over, and I won't do the yard unless I'm forced to. Anybody? And so my yard gets crazy, and my tools don't get used very often. And so she said, "Jason, you need to get out there and get on that yard and start weeding in it." But my tools that I use, the weed eater, they get so rusted, and we don't use them a lot because I'm not doing a lot of yard work. And so I was like, okay. So I go out into the yard, and I'm getting ready for the company that was coming over. And as I'm getting ready, do you guys ever have lawn equipment that doesn't ever work right? Like, it just doesn't pull on the full pull. So anyways, I'm out there pushing and priming this thing. It's not going. My hands are getting all blistered up, and my arm feels like it's going to come out of socket. And so I just put that thing down, and I was like weeping. And at that time, Vicky gets a text from Jerry next door. He's like our adopted son, Jerry. So he's like our adopted redheaded son. And he lives next door. And she goes, "Jerry wants to come over and borrow the weed eater." And it was at that point in my heart, like I had some joy. Because have you ever got like, you're like, if, and don't judge me on this, but have you ever gone through like something really horrible and you're like, I hope they go through that too. You're just like, I want them to experience the same thing I experienced. And so I told Vicky, I said, "Yeah, tell them to come on over and pick it up. That's fine." So in my heart, this is how bad it got. I was actually praying that this was going to be as good as I thought it was. I'm like, "Lord, this thing, I can't wait to watch him get over there and try to start this weed eater, because he's going to be out there and working so hard, and his hands are going to get all messed up." And I'm sitting there just watching. And he takes it over, and he takes it into the yard. And I'm like, "Man, this is going to be good. Lord, come on now. Don't fail me now, Jesus." Right? And he grabs this string, and he goes, boom. And you know what happened? On the first pull, and my heart just broke at that moment. I was like, "No, I was going to spend my whole day watching this and getting enjoyment from it," and he pulls it on the first pull. Now, here's the thing about it that made it worse. My wife had been watching this whole thing go down, and as she's watching it, she had saw everything that I went through. My neighbors were out there watching me for a half an hour thinking this guy had something happen in his childhood when he was young and he's got to prove himself and there's a problem going on. And so Vicky, when she saw that, my loving wife, the next thing she does when she saw Jerry pull it on one pull, she comes out and she says, "How does that feel?" And I said, how does that feel? That makes me want to go and weed eat Jerry. That's what I want to do. I want to weed eat him. I want to go over there. This kid's got to have some pain in this. But I started thinking about it. And I'm going to tell you guys something about that. When we're looking at breaking through burden. Man, I was one pull away. Did you know that? I was one pull away from that thing getting going. And I stopped before I had the breakthrough. Because it's easy to stop prematurely instead of breaking through some of the burdens that we have. You know, I guess what I'm saying is it's easier to stop under the burden of unhappiness. And for some people, just stay high all the time. Just stay high all the time instead of dealing with the root issue on why you're not happy in the first place. For some of us, we've got these burdens of insecurity. Where God has blessed you, where he's anointed you, where he has gifted you, and there's a calling on your life, but because of insecurities of your life, you'd rather just do nothing instead of step out on your calling. And there's so much wasted potential because of maybe you're worried about what other people have said about you or what you even think about yourself or what the devil tells you in your head. But there's insecurities, burdens of insecurities. And so what we do instead of breaking through, we stop one pull short of what God has for us. If you guys got children, how many of you guys got kids? Man, and I'm not saying your kids are a burden. But I will say that we can have a burden for our kids, amen? We can have a burden for our children that is so deep. And it's like when we raise them the best that we can, we try to bring them in the house of the Lord, we try to be good parents, they grow up and they end up ignorant. And they think they got all the answers. See, it was different when you were wiping their rear end and they were 2 years old. But now that they're 20-something, they got it all figured out. But here's the problem with it. They can get to a certain age where they're going down a road and you know, God, if they keep going down this way, if they keep doing this, if they don't get this figured out, it's not going to end up very good. And you know it because maybe you've gone down that own road yourself. And so when you try to talk to your kids about it and you got this burden, listen, I'm trying to help you. And they say, look, you know what? Don't text me anymore. I don't want to hear it. You've been telling me the same thing over and over again, and I'm just, let me do me, and you do you, and you stay over there, and I'm going to stay over here, and I just don't want to have these conversations with you anymore, and you're making things difficult, and they push you away, and you got this burden for your kids. What can happen as a parent is you can get to that place, and I'm talking to somebody that's struggling with their kids right now. You can get to a place to where you say, you know what, forget this. I'm going to let them do what they want to do anyway. If they want to drink themselves to death, if they want to be with someone who's going to tear their life up, then so be it. I'm just going to stay out of it. And I believe that one of the biggest objectives of the devil is that he would burden you so much that you'll break. And I do think that it's out of this that everything flows from him in your life to tear your life down. He wants to get you to break before breakthrough. But I believe God wants us to rebuild. Amen? Take back some marriages, get some endurance to fight against the devil on our kids, and rebuild some hope in a God who's able to do abundantly and more than we could ever ask. Amen? So Nehemiah, when we look at Nehemiah, this is a book about a guy who's got a tremendous burden. And when we see this is just an introduction this morning. We'll see how it goes. If you guys like it, come back next Sunday. But Nehemiah, when we come into Nehemiah in chapter 1, it says that he is a cupbearer. And you don't want to get it wrong with this guy, because a cupbearer, we would think, oh, this is just the help, or this guy is just kind of like a janitor, or he's got like a low-class job, because it's easy to look at somebody's label and judge them in the Lord. And by the way, I want you to know we're so much more in the Lord than our labels. People look at some stay-at-home moms and they say, oh, they find out what you do. Oh, you a stay-at-home mom? And then it's just like, oh, you get to sleep in every day. You don't have any, you know, you make your own schedule. You don't have a lot of stuff going on. You get to just watch TV. You don't have a free moment with kids. So not only are you taking care of those babies, but then when your husband gets home, you got a baby coming home then. But you're just a stay-at-home mom. There's so much more than you being a paycheck or someone who just dropped up out of high school. We got to remember that we're more than our labels. Thank you, Jesus. We're so much more than what people label us. God's got a plan for you. Did you know it? Because I'm going to preach it to you. If you don't, you'll get it by the time you get out of here. I pray to God that. So Nehemiah, it says that he's a cupbearer, and he's a cupbearer to the king of Artaxerxes. And what we see about Nehemiah, just setting the context, is that he is incredibly blessed with his position. He does have wealth. He does have influence. People want to know him. He's got a lot of people following him on Twitter. And he's got the ability to have people come and get some stuff done in his life. It just comes with the territory. But when you see this, I want you to listen to this. He is blessed in Persia, but he's got a burden for Jerusalem. Because sometimes you can be blessed in one place, but that doesn't mean you're not going to be burdened in another. How many of you guys know that you can have your bills under control, but then your marriage is out of control? You can have a good health, but your finances are a mess. You can be young, but still single. See, you can have blessings in one place, but it doesn't mean you're not going to be burdened in another. And Nehemiah is a man who has incredible burdens. How many of you guys know that? How many of you guys know that things can be going in one spot, and then it's completely messed up in another? This is the burden of Nehemiah. He is blessed in Persia, but he is burdened for Jerusalem. And the reason why, let's go into verse 1 through 3. It says that the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakla. You got to say it like you got something in your throat. Come on, Hakla. That's it. You guys know how to speak Hebrew. So it said the son of Hakla in the month of Kislev, that's November and December, you guys knew that. In the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hananiah, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men and questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile. I had questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. And they said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province and are in great trouble and disgrace. And the walls of Jerusalem is broken down and the gates have been burned with fire. So the reason why Nehemiah is so burdened is because the walls of Jerusalem have been broken down. You see, the reason why you got walls in your life is to keep the enemy out of your life. So once you got walls that are broke down, it takes nothing for the enemy to come up. Did you hear me? So if you've got a place like Jerusalem in your life where some walls of hope have been busted down, some dreams that God has put in your heart have been torn down, some faith has been torn down, some forgiveness has been torn down, it's going to take nothing for the enemy to come up and in there. And that's why he's just so burdened for this place in Jerusalem, because the walls have been torn down, the enemies have been coming in, and it says when Nehemiah's brother comes back and he talks to Nehemiah about this, he asks his brother, did you guys see it? Nehemiah said, what's happening in Jerusalem? What's going on there? Now, the reason why Nehemiah had asked his brother what's going on in Jerusalem is because he cared enough to find out what was going on in Jerusalem. And I think one of the things with us is that we've got to remember that Nehemiah was a person who cared. When he was asking people what was going on in their life, he wanted to know. You know, today we ask people, hey, how you doing? But we've got a different tape going on in our head. So we say, how are you doing? But in our mind, we're like, you know what? I've kind of had some drama this week, my own self. I got to be somewhere in 10 minutes. I hope this doesn't get long. I know you got a story. Everybody does. And so let's just make it brief and then we're out of here. I know that's nobody here, right? When you ask, you just really want to, hey, how you doing? But the problem with us is that we're afraid to ask sometimes how people are doing. So number one, we ask, but we really don't care. Or number two, we look at it like this. If I get some information, that might mean I might have to have some obligation. If you start telling me what's going on with you, then that might put me in a position to where that's going to obligate me to do some things for you. And we've got our own time, and we've got our own resources, and we kind of get stingy with stuff. But you know what? We're never going to be more like Christ than when we're bearing one another's burdens. That's why Galatians 2, Paul said, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Hey, thank you, Jesus, that somebody you had in my life when I needed some money. Thank you, Lord Jesus, when I had to get a job and someone gave me a chance. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that somebody took me in and took care of me when I needed help. When we're asking people how we're doing, we need to really be concerned about them, because if information leads to obligation, then let's get obliged or obligated. Let's get obligated with them. And I thank God. I just want to tell you guys right now, I just thank God for people that get involved. I want to thank our church. I want to thank the hours that people have been coming down here, leaving here 10 o'clock at night, getting here first thing in the morning, putting the time in, putting the work in, putting their money in, putting their resources in, putting their talents in, over and over again. Because whether you know it or not, this is going to be a church that takes care of other people's burdens. That's what we're going to be here for, if you just wanted to know. We're going to be like a hospital for a bunch of sick, messed up people, which is you. Yeah. It's you. But it's okay. God is good. Amen. So he tells him, his brother tells him, he says, hey, Nehemiah, they're surviving, but they're definitely not thriving. Because they had gotten through this history. Let me just give you a brief history where Babylon had come in and just laid waste that place. Tore down the temple, busted down the walls, and left them messed up. And then after that, some time had passed, and these Persian people come in, and they conquer the Babylonians after the Babylonians had conquered the Jews. So whatever the Babylonians had, the Persians ended up having as well. And so you could look at it like this. When Nehemiah's brothers tell him, he says, you know what? How are they doing? They're in disgrace. They're discouraged and they're surviving. See, in your life, you can have your own Babylonians in one day, and then you can get hit by the Persians another day. And sometimes the only hope you got is not thriving tomorrow, but just surviving today. Have you ever been there? Where you're just like, God, I just need to get through today. You're not looking for any hope in tomorrow. You're not looking to make some kind of, you're just like, I got to get through today. And after today, that's all I'm hoping for. Because I get through one thing and then another thing comes. And there's no hope of thriving, but just surviving. But here's the thing about you being worried about tomorrow. There's some good news in that. Can I tell you what it is? God said, this is what Jesus said. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Because tomorrow's got enough problems of its own. You know what you need to do? Worry about today. You need to worry about your problems today, because tomorrow's got enough problems of their own. But I want to tell you in Jesus' name that the same God that got you through these doors today is the same God that's going to provide for you tomorrow. He's going to take care of you. He's got a plan for you. He didn't bring you this far to leave you where you're at. God's got something for you that he's going to do through you and provide for you and take care of you. Some of us shouldn't even have been here today, but God has got us into the house. So don't worry about, look, we have burdens about tomorrow and what are we going to do and how are we going to get through? Hey, listen, God says, you give that to me and I'm going to take care of you. Do you believe that? God's good that way. So Nehemiah, he knows. This is a man that knows what to do when you don't know what to do. And he gets to praying before he gets to planning. Check out verse 4. It says, when I heard these things, I sat down and I wept for some days, and I mourned and I fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven. And then I said, Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenants of love, those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night. For your servants, the people of Israel. I just want to stop right there. Man, how many of you guys love the Bible? You should. You should. I've always told you, you know, and I believe this too. If you think the Bible's boring, you're boring. That's it. That's it. There's so much going on here. You should be ripping up the seat you're in right now. Honest to God. Honest to God. It's good. It's good. Nehemiah, when he doesn't know what to do, he goes to prayer before he goes to planning. And the reason why that I love this is because of the way that this whole book is planned out. It starts in prayer, and guess what it ends in? Yes, it starts in prayer and it ends in prayer. And this isn't like Nehemiah. The reason why I love this prayer is because it's a real one, not a rehearsed one. Because if you know somebody that likes to pray, sometimes they just got the same, they hit the cassette player. That's what we used to listen to when we were in caves and we used to have to try to make fire with sticks. We had these things called cassette tapes. And sometimes we got this tape that when we're praying, it's the same song over and over again. God protect my husband, keep him from losing his mind. God help my wife. God bless my kids. God put a hedge of protection around my family. God this, God that. And it's over and over and over again. And it's like a mantra. And I know you guys don't pray the same, like it's a script, right? I'm preaching to somebody else today, right? So it's not like you're reading a script every time you're connecting with God. See, it's real, not rehearsed with Nehemiah. When he prays, when he doesn't know what to do and he's burdened and he's trying to get a game plan, he prays before the plan. And see, Nehemiah, what he does is he starts praying back God's promises to God, not because God needs to be reminded of how great he is, but sometimes Nehemiah had to remind himself about how good God was. And so Nehemiah, you know what he's doing? He's showing what kind of God you got. He's showing you what kind of God we've got. He said, awesome, mighty. You remember David? Man, David, that guy could pray like crazy. And there's a prayer that David was praying about your God and about my God. And he said, Lord, your love reaches to the sky. And so what he's doing, he's painting a portrait with his mouth. He says, God, your love reaches to the sky and your faithfulness reaches to the heavens and your righteousness is like a mighty mountain and your justice is like the ocean deep. Man, how cool is that, that someone can paint a picture with their mouth in their prayer? And Nehemiah is like, he's reminding God of how great he is before he asks him for anything. And I want to tell you, if you want power in your prayer, start with what God has already done before you ask him what you need him to do. Start reminding God. There was a time where I might have lost my mind if it wasn't for you stepping in. There might have been a time I would have still been out on that street had you not done something for me. God, you've been so good to me. And so what we do, listen, if you want some prayer, you want power in your prayer, when you're burdened and you're busted down, you got to get out of the mantra and you need to start praising God for his glory, for his mercy, for his strength. And when you start praising God for who he is before you ask him for what you need, God's going to put power in that prayer. And that's what Nehemiah does. He says, Lord, I'm going to lift up how great you are before I start lifting up all of the needs of all that I've got. And so he starts with praise before the battle. And I believe God loves it when we do that. God loves to hear praises about how amazing he is. He loves that. I love it when my grandbabies, they'll come over and they'll say, I'll pull up sometimes in the driveway and Ruth, she'll look over and she'll say, Papa, can I come over to your house? I'm like, yeah, in a little bit. Papa, I love you. Papa, I come over. And then I'm like, oh man, I got to come get you. And then I come get her and I bring her in the house. You know what she says? Papa Moana. Moana. Rapunzel, can I watch TV? Can I watch TV? And I'm just like, oh man, go back home to your mom. Right? I stay with, yeah, you bet it. Your mom won't let you watch TV because she thinks it corrupts your mind, but put it on. Put it on. Moana it is. I love it. She knows how to get me going. And I'm just saying, look, God loves it when you start your prayer request with praise. So before you start lifting up that custody battle and that mess, you start reminding God of all of his greatness in it. Before you start praying the next time about having to patch things up at home, get to patching things up with God and telling him how amazing he is. Before you get those results back last time you went to the doctor and you've been freaking out a little bit, check this out. Before you go to him with your request, go to him with some praise. How about that? So that's what we're going to do. And so Nehemiah does it. And so now, Nehemiah gets to closing out this section, in this next section, and it says in verse 6b, it starts and he says, I love this. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. And we've acted wickedly towards you, and we have not obeyed your commandments, decrees, and laws that you gave your servant. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you're unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commandments, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place that I have chosen as a dwelling place for my name. You see, that kind of surprised me a little bit, because when Nehemiah asks him this prayer, he's got a big burden. He's burdened. And he needs God to help him. He's got to have a solid if this thing is going to work. If the plan is going to go through, if this whole thing is going to take place, when he's talking to God about this and he's asking for this request, what he does is he says, I'm messed up. I'm broken. I'm a sinner. And the thing that I liked about it was that he said, the Israelites, but I'm not just lifting up their sin, I'm going to lift up mine. Because see, a lot of the time it's everybody else's problem but yours. And so sometimes what we got to do is we got to say, okay, look, maybe it's not everybody else that's messed up, but I might have an issue. And he says, I confess that to you. And I thought that was kind of bold, because quite honestly, I'm not into telling God everything when I need some things. Crickets. You guys don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not always excited to tell God everything when I need some things. And God wants us to know, I mean, we can come to God as a good father who listens and won't turn his children away. And I love that about the Lord, because we can, he knows everything that's going on in our life before we can bring it up anyway. And there's some of us in here today that maybe we've been unfaithful with some things, because we're all kind of messed up in a way, aren't we? And I'm not talking Christian messed up either. You see, some of you had your mouth going a little bit too much this week. I'll bet some stuff came out of your mouth and it wasn't Christian cussing neither. And what's up with that anyway? Hey, if you're a Christian, by the way that you cuss is you come up with weird words like dog lips, fiddlesticks, dirt to dir, oh gee whiz. And that's like the way you cuss because you're Christian. but I will have a feeling that at some point, maybe for some of you throughout the week, it got a little farther than dog lips and fiddlesticks and you came straight out with it, because sometimes we all get a little bit messed up with our mouth. Sometimes we get a little upset with our temper, where your wife is telling you to relax. They didn't mean to cut you off in traffic and you're ready to pull out all kinds of stuff. They cut me off. Thank you for our wives, by the way, because sometimes we can just blow stuff out of proportion and get crazy. Like, that was deliberate. I'm gonna tailgate them. And then your wife's like, honey, back off. They didn't mean it. And you're like, no, I gotta ride them like they did me. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit in our wives. Or maybe you've been like Macaulay Culkin and you've had some Home Alone and you've had some temptation. Hey, here's the thing. God is good, and he wants us to come, and like Nehemiah, he confesses everything to God. Not some things, but everything. Because it's easy for you to confess some things than others. When we had Wi-Fi hooked up, the technician came out, and he says, "What's the password?" And I said, let's go, Jesus is Lord. And he goes, "Just lowercase?" And I said, "Yeah, lowercase." And then in my heart, I was convicted. It got weird. It got weird for 5 minutes. And I said, "Oh, you know what?" I said, "Hey, can you just go Jesus is Lord and do it in all caps? Can we do it like that? Because I felt like I had broken some kind of commandment and in my heart. But see, that's not that big of a deal. So when I come to God and I'm praying and I'm like, "God, I need a breakthrough. I need you to come through for me. But I got to confess a sin. Lord, I told him Jesus is Lord and I told him lowercase. I told him lowercase, Lord." And how easy that is, right? But man, you start coming out with some real stuff with the Lord, and that's when there's some healing with God. And God loves that, and we can do it. We can come to it from that. Come to him. And he says in verse 9, he says, "But if you return to me," so check this out, "but if you return to me and obey my commandments, and even if your exiled people are the farthest from the horizon, I'm going to come and gather them." You know why I can't even finish reading that? Because it got me so excited about it. Because there's some things about this. When the Jews got, they knew what to do, and they wouldn't do it. And they just chose to go their own way. They chose to do their own thing. They said, "Hey, listen, I know what the word of God says, but I'm going to do it my way." And so when they did it their way, they got sent away. They got scattered. And then when they got scattered out through all the horizons. Now, how many of you guys know that when you don't do things God's way and you don't listen to God, you end up scattered up all over the place? You don't know if you're going up or down. You don't know what's happening in your life. In fact, you've got more confusion and anxiety and fear than you ever had in your life. And the reason why isn't because God left you, but because you left him. But he says, "Look, if you obey and return to me, I'm going to come after you." And the reason why that spoke to me, because there was times when I was first getting saved and trying to figure out all this Christian stuff, I would look at other people in the church who are Christians. And I would watch them. I'd watch them getting high. I'd watch them partying. I'd watch them in their stuff and whatever they were doing. And I'd see them on church on Sunday. And praising God with both hands lifted up. And I would look at them and I'd say, because see, I'm a brand new Christian, so I've got it all figured out already. And if you need the answers, you just come to me and I'm going to tell you, even though I don't know nothing. And I would look at those people and I'd say, "Man, how did they get so far away from God? I would never go that far." And then you know what happened? Not only did I go that far, but I went farther. I went so far away from God, I never thought I would come back again. And I definitely didn't think he would ever want me back again. That's a God's honest truth. You talk about being scattered to the horizon. I was so far away. I was like at the other end of the earth. But this is what God says. When we return to him, he's going to return to us. And all we got to do is say, "Hey, listen, I'm done with this." And we don't have to make your way back to him. He says, "I'm going to make my way back to you. I'm going to make my way back to you. I'm going to come and get you. You're way out of whack. You're over there. And I'm going to bring you into myself. And I'm going to bring you from where you are." Thank you, Jesus, because some of us are way far away. To where you need to be. And you know who does it? Jesus. Jesus does it. We don't have to work for it. He's already done it. And he says if we just make a move to him, he'd come and he would get us. And so he says, "I'm going to bring you in from the farthest horizon." And that's such good news. How do you know God's going to forgive you when you turn back to him? Here's how you know. Because he said so. That's it. Because he said so. God says, if you just come back. So Nehemiah ends this, and he says in verse 10 through the 11th, let's just finish out with this, worship team. "They are your servants, your people." He's burdened for these people. And by the way, sometimes burden's not always bad. If you got burden, it's not always bad. If you got burden, it's not always bad. I'm going to say it again because you're watching the worship team. Michelle's holier than everybody. She was listening. If you got burden, it's not always bad. It's the carrying of the baggage that is. It's the fear, it's the anxiety, it's the stress. Burden's okay. The Bible tells us that we should be burdened for one another, but that doesn't mean we're carrying the baggage of it. And so when Nehemiah, he prays this out for the Lord's people that he would interact on behalf of them, he says, "You redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name, and give your servant success today." Today, not tomorrow. I'm looking for something right now. "By granting him favor in the presence of this man." How bold is that? Hey, let me ask you guys something. When you ask God, and you come to God, and you're just laying that burden before him, do you expect success before sunset? I mean, who really believes that? See, what we do is we default to the Christian position, which is this: if it doesn't happen, well, God just, it's all in his timing. If he doesn't come through, then I guess he just knows what's best. If this doesn't get worked out, if this doesn't get healed, I guess I'm just, you know, it's all in his hands. I'm just going to trust him. I'm a Christian. He's the Lord, and I'm just going to give it to him, and we'll see how that works out. See, if I'm honest with you guys, and I'm trying to be, there's a lot of times I default to the Christian position. And there's nothing wrong with believing that God will do something tomorrow, but there's definitely nothing wrong believing it's going to start today. And when we come to God and we ask him, we can trust and we can claim that and say, "Lord, I need success today." Now look, that doesn't mean you are healed today. That doesn't mean you are fixed today. That doesn't mean it's resolved today, but it does mean God has gotten into it today. And he is going to work it out for our good and his glory. But the way that I love this, the way that Nehemiah closes this out, I want to tell you guys something. We can learn from this is that Jesus is our burden breaker. He's our burden bearer. Like that scripture said when we first started this morning, he says, "Cast your burdens on me. I'm going to give you rest." And just like Nehemiah, check this out, just like Nehemiah had a place of privilege and prosperity, and he chose to leave that, and what you're going to see, to go and get involved in a messed up people with broken down walls, and their lives have been set afire by the enemy, and they've been completely wasted and torn down. And when you look at Jesus, he left a place of privilege, and he came to a people whose walls are busted down and broken and are burdened. And he says, "I want you to come to me and give me that burden." Nobody comes up to you and asks you that. They might ask you for $5. But nobody comes up to you and says, "Hey, can you unload on me? Can you dump on me? Can you let me know what's going on? Because I'm here for you and I want to take what you got going on." And so this morning, I don't know everybody here today, and so maybe you're here today and you're really burdened. And there's just some things you can't tell everybody. And you don't know Jesus. You don't have a relationship with God. I want you to know this is your opportunity to make a decision for Christ and to put your hope in him and to put your faith in him. Because apart from him, and if you are, you've got nothing. I don't know how you're going to get through what you're getting through apart from Jesus. But I I know with him you can get through anything. And so God's making a call to you today to turn to him in faith. Or maybe you've had a relationship with God and you've walked away. You remember how he was saying to the farthest horizons, and that's you. You're just like, man, that is me. I've gone so far, I didn't know I was going to go that far. Come and make a turn to me. I'm going to come and get you right there in that seat. And you can believe it. And so as we close this morning, I want to pray over you. I want to pray over you that you would receive Christ. And I want to pray over those who need to make a turn back to him after going so far in the opposite direction. They need to come back. And here's the good news. You can. You can always come back. That door is always open. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, I pray this morning over those that have come into your house today who are burdened. God, that are struggling in their bodies. They're struggling with their children, God, that have gone a whole nother direction than you've ever intended for them to be. And God, we need a breakthrough today. God, we need a breakthrough. And we turn to you in Jesus' name. You said, cast your burdens on you because you care for us. And so, God, we're going to take you up on your offer. But you may need to make a decision for Christ that you've never done before. So I just want you to open up your heart for a second. And if God is like speaking to you today to make a choice for him, listen, this is what you need to do. I'm going to lead you. And this is what we do. You say, Father, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of doing things my own way. And Lord, I pray that as I make a decision to give my life to you in total control and surrender to you, God, that you protect me, that you guard me, me, God, set me apart from some of my friends, God, set me apart from people around me who do nothing but influence me, God, in these horrible areas of my life. I give my life to you, Jesus, and I pray that you come into my heart, and I pray that you set up in my life, Lord, and that you make all things new, as the word says, whoever be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. While we were yet dead in our sins, Christ died for us. He died for you before you ever made a decision for him. How much more so will he not be there for you now? And Father, we lift up the others to you who are making a change back to you, God. And we're coming to you, Lord, and we're bringing our burdens before you, Father, and we just give them to you and ask that you have your way in it. And we believe in Jesus' name that you know every heart, you know every burden, you know everything that's going on with everybody here today. And if you can hear my voice there today, I want you to know you can bring it before God and expect success before sunset. God hears your cry. He hears your prayer. He knows you. And so, Father, we give glory to you and to your name and your holiness and your righteousness. God, that your love is like the skies and your faithfulness to the highest heavens, God, and your righteousness like mighty mountains, Lord. God, and your justice is ocean deeps. We love you, God. We thank you for all that you've done in our life and how amazing you are. In Jesus' name. And the church said, let's give God praise.